This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. So here's a word that's controversial, two-factor authentication. While it's meant to be something reassuring, it's actually a word that makes most of us feel a little less content somehow. And while a chore, it's become an important aid in verifying who we really are in the all-too-vulnerable and easily haggable cyber world. But it's a system that's not perfect. There are limitations and important things you need to know should you use the method. We've got the perfect person to break it down for us. Joining us now is personal tech editor for the Wall Street Journal, Wilson Rothman. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. So we know the system well. We use the system at the Journal. A lot of workplaces use it. But for clarity's sake, would you kindly explain the basics of this two-factor authentication? Because even as someone who uses it, I probably don't fully appreciate why it is what it is, why it does what it does. I usually just get a little annoyed.
So originally when you'd log into a website, you'd type in your password, you'd hit OK, and you'd see your stuff. And that is not safe because, as we know, people steal passwords or people find out passwords. They do a lot of ways to get through to you. And so what two-factor authentication does is it gives a second piece of information, usually in the form of a text message of maybe a six-digit code. So when you're logging in, you put in your password, you hit OK, and it says, what code did we just send you? And you type in those six digits and you're on your way. It is the logic behind this is that hackers may have your password, but they don't have your phone in their hand. You're trying to make sure that you're trying to reduce the potential for them to get to your account through this front door.
Mm-hmm. All makes sense. So you, as you do, and thank you for doing this because you broke it down really well for us. So there are three main methods in which we can use this process. The one I'm most familiar with is texting. It's simple. It seems relatively safe, but things aren't always what they seem, as we well know.
Right.
What should we be thinking about when we get texted these codes?
So yeah, the biggest, most popular format is this SMS, this text message where you get the text message code. And it is, for the most part, safe. But let's just be clear, it is not 100% safe. People can hack your phone number. They can basically take over your phone account. They can spoof your account. There are lots of ways that people can do this. The more information that gets leaked out there, like with the recent Equifax breach. There's so much information out there that people can use to pretend to be you to get into your phone account that this is deemed unsafe. Let's just be clear. Most people are probably not in the crosshairs of this kind of an attack, but you might be. If you have a lot of money, if you're in a position of power in your company or in your government, you should not rely on SMS if you can help it. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So companies are working really hard to offer newer, safer means. If you use Google, Facebook, or Apple products, those three companies have been aggressively pushing alternative methods via the devices and apps that they relate to you through.
I'm admittedly a little less familiar with a lot of these apps that these companies use. So what should we look out for? Should we go that route?
Sure. I mean, first thing that happens, like for instance with Facebook, is you go into the settings and you turn on two-factor. Once you do that, that device becomes the app that you're using becomes the second factor. So when you log in elsewhere, right, you put in your password and you go into your app that's already trusted and get a code. So that's basically what's happening. It's a code generator inside the Facebook app. They direct you to it. Don't worry, they'll tell you exactly where to find it when that happens. And it only happens, again, when you're logging in to another device. It doesn't happen when you're just getting on Facebook on the phone's app. Similar with Google. If you have, I recommend people have the Google app, not just Gmail, but the Google app,
right,
search app on their iPhone or their Android, where Google will give you codes, or actually sometimes it just pops up and says, are you trying to log in on this other machine? If yes, tap here. Now, really important, obviously, if you're not trying to log in, don't tap yes, I am. Don't just make, my kids have this tendency to, when there's a pop-up, to just okay it to make
it
go away.
Get rid of it, whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Don't do that. And with iOS devices, this is the same thing. They've now orchestrated it basically across all iOS devices where you designate a device as a second factor and then you can use it. You'll just okay it right there. It'll pop up on the screen. Hey, are you trying to log in with your Apple ID somewhere
else? And a lot
of
us are seeing that more and more and noticing that, as commonplace. Let's get back to basics, though. The whole keychain and USB dongle element is also something that's certainly reliable. Has it been modernized to give us a little bit something more secure?
Yeah, so that one of the older uses of two-factor was they would give you a, you know, companies would issue you a, this little dongle that had a number that changed every 60 seconds.
Right.
And that is what two-factor, that was the original two-factor. But, you know, over the years, they've modernized that so that now there's something called the YubiKey, which you can plug in and it'll transmit these codes without you even needing to worry about them or type them in or even see them. Now, you still have to go through a setup with that. Sometimes it can be annoying with mobile devices. Some are compatible, some are not. I mean, it's just if that's the route you want to go, you need to kind of get in, get your hands a little dirtier, but they can be helpful. As far as most of us goes, I mean, relying on the apps that are out there and you know, especially with these big services like Google and Facebook, I think that's the kind of the happy medium that we should all be using most often.
We're speaking to the Wall Street Journal's Wilson Rothman about what you need to know about two-factor authentication. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
What are the keys to making better decisions in work and life? One of the most successful entrepreneurs and investors of our time, Ray Dalio, has written down his recipes for doing so in his new book, Principles. According to Michael Bloomberg, creating and living by a set of principles allowed Ray to reach the top. Everyone with goals and dreams can learn from his approach. To learn more or to hear Ray's TED Talk, visit principles.com.
Thanks for joining us. I feel a little bit safer, quite frankly, so thank you for that. But what else should I think about before we wrap?
Sure. We haven't covered that much here in terms of what may be important to you, what services you use. What I very, very highly recommend is just Googling the service or the bank, say Bank of America, and two-factor authentication. And then hopefully you'll get a Bank of America URL, a link right there that you can click to get some more information about how you can use two-factor with that particular service. I wrote an article, I put a bunch of links, but there's no way I can put all the links to every service and every two-factor setting.
Good to know that's an option, though.
Yeah, so just search it. This horrible phrase, two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Yeah, Google knows what that means and will direct you to the right appropriate help pages. So that's my best advice.
Very good. Wilson Rothman, thank you as always.
Thank you.
For more, you can head to WSJ.com. Wrapping up the tech news briefing for now, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.